The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Wilbon and I discuss the Chiefs' chances if Patrick Mahomes cannot play and whether you'd rather start Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. But we begin today with the Brooklyn Nets beating Milwaukee Bucks in a good tight game last night. Once again, James Harden and Kevin Durant were exceptional. Harden had 34 points and 12 assists. Durant had 30 points and 9 rebounds. And Harden assisted Durant on the three that eventually became the game winner. Well, Von, the Bucks were the number one team in the East in the regular season last year. So is this a sign of things to come?
I don't think this is a sign of anything. It was a hell of a regular season game. Back and forth, a ton of ties and lead changes. I watched every possession after the first quarter. It was fabulous. And so one shot not going in doesn't tell anybody anything in the NBA. This is not the NFL. You still got 72, even though you don't have 82. Now, what it may be a sign of is that the Brooklyn Nets, particularly, specifically, Kevin Durant and James Harden, are unstoppable. They're unstoppable, the two of them, and playing off each other. And when you have Harden fully engaged again, like he wasn't and didn't care to be for the Houston Rockets, you know, this camp and regular season, when you have Harden engaged this way, well, he is giving up the ball and offensive rebounding and finding people and sharing and just committed to it. They're unstoppable. And that's without Kyrie Irving, and that may even hurt him. We can get to that some other time. But those two guys, Tone, they make that team formidable.
Okay, so number one, it's a game in January, so it's meaningless in the greater scheme of things. You know, if it happens in April or May, then we'll talk about it. Number two, Kyrie Irving, as you said, not on the floor. So unless they plan to trade him, which I don't think they do, until he gets on the floor, we're not discussing that team. Do Harden and Durant have great chemistry? Sure they do. And they had it in Oklahoma City. And that's why Durant wanted Harden on this team. Is Harden on his best behavior? Sure he is. Is he showing people he can be a lead guard, an assist guy? Yes, and that gets us back to Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving's probably saying, whoa, hold it a second. That's what I do.
Well, Tony, not initially. Initially, Kyrie will be on his best behavior. It's down the line after hitting a couple of speed bumps that we'll want to see how the next Nets function and communicate and what's it like in the locker room and all that. But right now, Tony, I think it's fair to sit there and look at Harden and Durant. And by the way, there was plenty of reason to look at Durant coming off this injury and say, you know what? Nobody's really done this and gotten back to 100% of MVP form with that particular injury. But he looks to have, Tony. I know it's early.
Yes.
There's a lot of grind to go. But, man, Durant looks great. The shots he hit, the pull-ups, all the things athletically you need to do off two good feet, ankles, Achilles, legs, knees. Durant's doing all that. And with him and Harden, they're a wonder to watch now. I don't want to project that yet, and I know you don't either, but I'm talking about enjoying what they're doing now.
But I actually do. I mean, short term, you're 100% right. But Kyrie Irving is the elephant not quite in the room yet. There's a finite amount of shots. Right now they're being shared by two people. Down the road they have to be shared by three people. And is Kyrie Irving looking at this? Is he saying to himself, hey, that looks great. I want to be a part of that. Can't wait. Or is he looking at this and saying, whoa, hold on a second. What happened to me? Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't even care what
he
says.
About the two of them.
I want to see what he does. I want to see what Kyrie does. I don't care what he says. Because you don't know, he'll make it up. He'll say anything, you know, whether it's in defiance or whether it's in, yeah, let me get them off my back. He'll say anything like he did to the people in Boston about where he was going to play. He'll say anything. What's he going to do? I want to see what he does over a long stretch of time.
Can I give you a tremendous statistic? Listen to this statistic.
Sure.
I'm going to have to put glasses on to read this. Harden and Durant have 138 points together in their first two games. That is second all-time. First all-time, as you might imagine, is Wilt Chamberlain and a teammate.
Wilt
and
somebody.
York Larisi. Wilt and York Larisi. York Larisi had 12 Wilt had 139. So by himself, Wilbon, by himself, Wilt has done more than Durant and Harden, who had two great games.
Wilt. Now, bow your head, boys and girls, Wilt. Let's move to the NFL, Tony, where Patrick Mahomes' status for Sunday is still uncertain. Kansas City star has been subject to the league's concussion protocols ever since he wobbled back to the neutral corner after a third quarter hit against the Browns. He'll have to pass all five phases and then get two doctors to clear him. Tone, how much will you discount the Chiefs' chances if they have to play without Patrick Mahomes?
So let me first say that there are a lot of reports out there that Mahomes is making progress, and some people are optimistic that he's going to play. But in terms of how much I would discount their chances, I would go 100% unless you tell me I can go higher than 100%. But if I can't, I will just go 100%. And I don't mean this to be critical of Chad Henne, who did a fine job and I'm sure is going to be all right. But Mahomes is a wizard. He's the X factor. I mean, Henne came in and made two great plays. He made the scramble and he made the fourth down throw that everybody said, oh, they're not even going to snap the ball. And those were great plays. He also threw an interception into the end zone that looked like a pillow as nine guys were waiting to catch it. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Don't even put them in the same sentence.
No. I might not go 100%, but I might go 95 on discounting if Patrick Mahomes is not available. Now, let's just skip that for a second. Because indications, increasingly, Tony, since we've come on the air, the indications are people expect Mahomes to practice tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if he's going to practice, he's going to play. But let me just say this about the protocols. And, yes, the protocols are in place. But if he's going to practice, that means he will have made – obvious improvement through getting through the protocols. The question also becomes his foot. And not if he can't play, but if he can't be himself. Patrick Mahomes' versatility and mobility are central to who he is and how he plays the game. Whether he's extending plays or moving forward to make first downs or running to the sideline or throwing like a maniac on the run. He does all of that with two pretty decent feet. If one of those feet is hindered by an injury, a toe injury, whatever it is, that reduces it. How much am I willing to reduce the Chiefs' chances playing against Buffalo? They're still going to be at home, but Josh Allen's pretty damn good on 2 feet himself. Tony, I'm going to take it down to about, 50% if Mahomes isn't able to be Patrick Mahomes, the MVP.
So let's talk about that he is diminished and what that means. Kansas City would then have to win the game on defense. Now, they're capable of that. Again, an interesting statistic here. Kansas City is 10th in points allowed. They played this team earlier in the year. They held Buffalo to 17 points, and they won 26-17. That's where they're going to have to do it, it seems to me. I think it's dicey. Do I think he's going to play? Sure, I think he's going to play. Without him, I think their chances are terrible. With them in a diminished capacity, I think they are significantly better, but the defense has to be there. We now look forward to the NFC Championship game. No lead-in is necessary here. Wilbon, who would you rather have as your quarterback, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
You know, Tony, I could try to phony it up and come up with reasons. As I just thought about this story and knowing we were going to raise this question, I didn't know then. I can take either side. I don't know now. I'm not going to know Sunday at kickoff. I'm not going to know. I mean, you got the greatest quarterback of all time, and you've got a guy who, while he has many fewer Super Bowls, five fewer than Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback given where I grew up and the division I follow, the NFC Central, that I have lived most in fear of. I mean, it's gone from Favre to Rodgers. And I can't. You know, Aaron Rodgers is at the height of his powers right now, even at 37 years old. He's having arguably his best season. I'm not going to give you some phony stat. You take one, I'll take the other. I ain't going against Brady anymore. I stupidly did that in August when I made that bet with you about taking Belichick over Brady. That's the only time I've gone against Brady, and I'm not going against him today. So you take it away.
So I will take it away. If you ask me, is it just about quarterbacks, then right now I will take Aaron Rodgers. Because Aaron Rodgers is at the height of his powers. He's throwing the ball like a dart. He had 50 touchdowns and 5 interceptions this year. Tom Brady had a great year, not just for a 43-year-old where he had the most greatest year of all time.
For anybody.
But for anybody. So his numbers are 44, right? 44 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, which is plus 32, which is tremendous. Rodgers is plus 45. Now, it's not just about quarterbacks. And the one time they played this year, Rodgers had his worst game. Tampa Bay got to him, sacked him four times, all right, intercepted him twice. His rating after that game, Mike, was 35, and he finished at the year at 121.5. I don't think that's going to happen again. I really don't think it's going to happen again. But you have to factor it in that maybe Tampa Bay as a team has a sense of getting to Rodgers that other teams do not.
I ain't factoring in a word of that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had better be aware of already having beaten Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They better be more aware of that than the New Orleans Saints were of winning
That's
two
right.
games against Tampa.
That's right.
It means jack. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing. As a matter of fact, I think it's an advantage for Green Bay to be able to react to what happened to them and the study of that film and being coached up. I think that's a slight advantage to Green Bay. So, but if we just go back to quarterbacks and you're choosing in the playground Sunday afternoon at whatever, 4 o'clock Eastern, and you say, who am I taking here? Am I taking the old guy or the much older guy? I don't know. How do you justify... How do you justify taking one over the other? Somebody will come up with inane and stupid numbers. I will not do that.
No, I'm going to give you numbers. I'm going to give you numbers as to why you don't bet against Brady. Because, well, you should listen. All right, Pookie, listen. He's been to 14 conference championships, 14, which is an unbelievable number. If he gains 32 yards through the air, he has 12,000 yards in postseason alone. The next guy up, Peyton Manning, 7,000. He has 77. Yeah, 77 touchdown passes in postseason alone. The next guy's Montana, 45.
And who you taking? Don't give me numbers. Who? No.
I told you.
Before you go to the break,
you know
who are you taking?
I already said that if you give me a chance, I'm going to take Rodgers. Let's take a break. Coming up, Baylor, Kansas last night. Are the Bears better than Gonzaga? Who are the Bears?
Exhibit A.
Which ones
are the Bears? Exhibit A on why numbers are stupid. You presented them and won't even take them. The Warriors went over the Lakers last night. Does that mean that the Warriors are a threat again, Tony?
Oh, I think you'd have to look at the numbers, Mike. You're anti-intellectual
about
numbers. I think you have to look at the numbers.
You do that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what's better than one day of mail time? No days of mail time, yet here we are. So let me see
there
what's
you are.
First.
Kidnapped the mailbox.
More impressive unbeaten team, Gonzaga or Baylor?
Tony, you know, this is weird. I mean, this is a question I would be totally, totally, totally into, and I know you would too. In a normal college basketball season, this is anything but that. I mean, the stat that it's the first time since 1961 that Duke, Kentucky, or North Carolina, that not one of them has been in the top 20. That tells you how bizarre this season is. You don't know what to make of people. They haven't had schedules that are like anything else. I'm going to say Gonzaga only because they seem to have some reinforcement behind theirs. They've done this before where they've gone deep into a season and been way up there. But I don't know. You can't know anything about this college basketball season yet.
So I, too, am the wrong one to ask about this because I'm not watching college basketball. I've tuned out because every night another game gets postponed, and I don't even understand what they're doing. I guess I'm waiting for the NCAA tournament, which they're going to play in a bubble so that we can finally see who's good and who's not good. Last year, at the beginning of the year, the star of the college basketball season was Zion Williamson, and this year it's the coronavirus. You know, Baylor, to me, it's the women's basketball team. So I don't know. I'll say Gonzaga, too. I don't know.
That's a push, man. Reality would hate
that.
Here we
go. Big night for the Warriors or off night for the Lakers?
Both, Tony. And I know this game came on like an hour and a half into night for you. I watched all of it, and it's a great night for the Golden State Warriors because they went in there and got that victory. Strangely enough, the Lakers, the only games they've lost this season, all four of them, have been at home, and that's sort of bizarre. The Lakers had a 19-point lead, 14, I think, in the fourth quarter. And they went to sleep like you. They just said, where's Tony's extra pillow? We'll all go night-night. Yeah. But the Warriors, man, I mean, Steph was Steph Curry. And that he and Draymond ran pick and roll late in that game, and they sort of shredded the Lakers, who, again, were not paying attention at that point. But I'm not gonna try to take away from the Warriors' victory. That's a big win. And for the Lakers, it didn't mean much.
I'm going to go statistical, so you can just go to sleep now. I'm going to say it's mostly an off night for the Lakers. I mean, neither LeBron nor Anthony Davis scored as much as 20 points. That never happens. They each shot 6 for 16, which by my math is 38%. That never happens. I will give you a statistic that I find almost incredible. In 283 games in which LeBron James played at home on one team or another, with a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, they were 283-0 until last night. The first time in 284 home games with 10 or more in the fourth quarter that he lost. That's unbelievable. Enough email.
That is. So you want to give the Warriors a little bit of credit? Maybe a little bit? No, you don't.
No, I don't. I want to keep reading here. Let's take one last break. But still to come, the Mets dump their new general manager.
Why don't you call ESPN Sports and Information and get some more stats? And we can just do the show that way, and maybe I can stay in my patio, which is the equivalent to your attic. How about that?
You don't want
to. We'll talk about the Ravens a little bit too. We'll do that.
You want to do your read, or you just want to like scream and yell about numbers?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 50th birthday, Eric Mangini, the man genius. He's on TV now for Fox, no longer coaching. But for a time, he was the hottest young coach in the NFL. He was a celebrated assistant for Bill Belichick in New England when he got the head coaching job of the New York Jets in 2006 at age 35. He was AFC Coach of the Year in his first season, but it went bad there. Mangini was 23-25 and out. And it went bad in Cleveland, where Mangini was 10-22 and out. While coaching the Jets, Mangini blew the whistle on the Patriots for filming other teams' sideline signals, a scandal that became known as Spygate. It's hard to think that didn't poison his relationship with Belichick, with whom he had won 3 Super Bowls. Now, we can agree that that had Mangini's record as a head coach been better, he'd probably still have a job doing that. But couldn't we also agree that within the fraternity of coaches, Mangini might be looked upon as untrustworthy because of Spygate?
Tony, I'm going to go the other way on that one. I mean, most teams and other coaches, it would seem to me, would love it that Mangini had the onions to go right at Belichick, wouldn't they? I mean, you know, they hate Belichick unless they can work for him. So it seems like they would like Mangini for that, at least privately.
Happy anniversary, Digger Phelps. On this day 47 years ago, Digger's Notre Dame squad ended UCLA's 88-game winning streak by beating the Bruins 71-70 in South Bend. There were a lot of great players on the court that day. John Shumate, Adrian Dantley, Gary Brokaw for Notre Dame, Bill Walton, then Keith Wilkes, Dave Myers, Marcus Johnson for UCLA. This was Digger's signature move, stopping a streak. A few years later, he did it to top-ranked 29-0 San Francisco with Bill Cartwright. Notre Dame students went wild when these opportunities arose, and Digger rose to the moment. He often wore a special green carnation in his lapel for these games, and he made sure to check where all the network cameras were mounted to get FaceTime. Digger was a great treat in college basketball. This particular game was a precursor to how UCLA's season ended when they lost in double overtime in the Final Four to North Carolina State with David Thompson and Tom Burleson.
Tony, I'm going to go even further and say that Digger's victories, Notre Dame's victories in those games, they made college basketball bigger. They lifted college basketball, and you can pay attention to somebody other than UCLA for a moment. And I've been able, like you, because I inherited my relationship with Digger from you, and I'm grateful for it, but I've been able to listen to Digger dissect those games and go back in time, and it is a treat to hear him talk about those moments.
I'm pretty sure I was at both those games. Happy trails, wow. Jared Porter. The Mets' new general manager was fired this morning after an ESPN story by Mina Kimes and Jeff Passan detailed a series of lewd text messages Porter sent to a female baseball reporter when he was working for the Cubs. The woman and Porter met in an elevator in Yankee Stadium in June of 2016, and Porter began texting her the next day. ESPN obtained the text messages in 2017, but withheld printing them because the woman was concerned her career would be harmed if the story came out. In recent days, however, she decided to go public in the hopes this would not happen to other women. Porter, 41, was hired by the Mets last month. Steve Cohn, the new owner of the Mets, said there should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. Cohn himself has been accused of gender discrimination by Sarah Vavra, a former employee at Cohn's hedge fund, who said he berated her publicly.
Tony, I know I don't have anything to add to that. I'll just shake my head and we move on.
Good, and we will go to the big finish. Blazers guard C.J. McCollum is out 4 weeks with a small fracture in his left foot. Is that a big deal?
Very big deal. He's averaging 27 points a game, Tony, and I'm one of those people who look for the Blazers, and I still do, to go far into those playoffs. This is a tough loss of that month. The Ravens are reportedly releasing running back Mark Ingram. Your thoughts?
Well, he's gone. RG3 was waived the other day. Those are two Heisman guys. They got another Heisman guy. I don't think they're getting rid of him.
He's not going anywhere.
I think he's
going
to stay for a while, yeah. The Nationals, my Nationals, signed John Lester to a one-year, $5 million deal. As a Nets fan, what should I expect, Wilbon? He's your boy.
Yeah, Tony, and so I'm eternally indebted to Lester. But you're not getting the guy from 2016 at this point who was almost unhittable at times. The NFL Network reports the Washington football team is close to hiring Marty Herney, as predicted here, as the club's GM. He's a good choice, isn't he?
So they're getting the band back together because they work together in Carolina. He's a former sports writer at our rival Washington Times. Good for him. Last one, Zion and the Pelicans against the Jazz tonight. Who you got?
Tony, the teams have been up and down with no real pattern so far, but I'm going to take the Jazz to win that game over the Pelicans.
Out of time, try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser on an iPad.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great evening, knuckleheads.